thinking of gifts, dinners, and gathering. But in the midst of all this, let me ask you something. Where does Jesus fit into your life this Christmas? Is he part of your preparation? Or has he maybe slipped into the background while you focus on everything else? Today we are going to pause and learn from John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 18. Let's start by reading Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 9, and open our hearts to how these teachings helped us focus on Jesus this season. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, so it can be different from your NIV or your NLT version. Verse 7, John kept preaching to the many crowds who came out to be baptized. You are nothing but the offspring of venomous snakes, full of deception, who warned you to repent before the coming wrath of God. Verse 8, then turn away from your sins to God and let your changed life be proof. Don't think for a moment that it's enough to simply be the favored descendants of Abraham. That's not enough to save you. I'm telling you, God could make more sons of Abraham out of stones if he chose to. Verse 9, even now, God's axe of judgment is poised to chop down your barren tree right down to its root, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be leveled and thrown into the fire. When people came to John for baptism, he challenged them to turn their hearts to God, live changed life, and bear the fruit of transformation. At that time, it seems that many Jewish people assumed that being descendant of Abraham, they are guaranteed salvation. But John made it clear, salvation is not inherited. It comes only through personal faith fulfilled in Christ Jesus. John was calling the people to repentance. The Greek word for repentance, metanoia, means a change of mind. In the Old Testament, repentance meant turn wholeheartedly to God. You might be thinking, we are not Jewish. What does Father Abraham got to do with us? In Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, tells us clearly that he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. We are the Gentiles. Thus, this message applies to us too. So growing up in a Christian home, coming to church every Sunday, living a moral life would not make us Christians. It is a personal choice, a decision to embrace faith in Jesus that makes us his follower. How many of you are first-generation Christian? First-generation means in your family, you are the only one, your parents are not Christian. First-generation, okay, quite a number. Second-generation means your parents are Christian, you are Christian. Quite a number. Third-generation, that means your grandparents are Christian, your parents are Christian, and you are Christian. No? Oh, have. Okay, a few. Fourth-generation? Wow, that's a lot. Well, excellent. For myself, I am a fourth-generation Christian as well. Well, this legacy is something I deeply treasure. It doesn't take the place of personal faith. Each of us must decide to follow Jesus ourselves, regardless of our family background. We are so blessed in Singapore to have the freedom of worship, a privilege that Christians in many countries could only dream of. Let me tell you my grandfather's story. Many years ago, I visited my grandfather's hometown in Fujian, Tong'an. Anyone from the same village? Okay. Wow, I found Tongxiang, okay. Yeah. My uncle over there told me about the persecution they experienced. My third granduncle was a pastor in Tong'an. One day, a mob came into the church, accusing them of hiding firearms in the church wall and planning a coup. When I visited them, I saw a big hole in the church wall. So my granduncle was arrested, tortured, hung by his thumb in a bum. We all know that if you get hanged by the thumb, you're not going to last very long. So he slipped numerous times. He fell from a height and broke his leg. In the end, he had to use a stick to carry himself throughout the life. His family was also tortured and sent to a faraway land for hard labor. To avoid further harm, a few of them had to change their name to non-biblical name. Only one uncle kept his biblical name, John. These sacrifices are the cost that many had paid and still pay for their faith. Does this remind you of someone? Yes, sorry. Not this person. Yes, Jesus was tortured, shamed, paraded through the street with his battered and bloody body, and carried the cross for you and me. Pastor Wayne Cordero shared a profound experience about his time with some Christian leaders. Leaders from a particular province traveled 13 hours by train to attend his training. For 3 days, they sat on a hard wooden floor without air conditioning from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. The stakes were high. If they were discovered, the participant could face up to 3 years in prison and Pastor Wayne would be deported. In fact, 18 out of the 22 leaders there had experience of being jailed for their faith. This reminded me of a time when I supported a conference in a faraway land just before COVID. Before our trip, the few of us were discussing, how should we respond if we get arrested? Will we be tortured or deported? My family had no idea the risk I took, as I only shared the good stuff. We prepared ourselves for the worst. After the conference, some of us were invited to preach at a church the next day. However, we were advised not to do so due to the risk of being arrested. The freedom to believe in Christ remains a significant challenge in many countries. Going to Pastor Wayne's story, he shared a powerful response when the leaders asked him to pray for them so they may one day enjoy religion freedom. He respectfully declined, explaining that he would instead pray for American Christians to have the same commitment and resilience as this believer. He pointed out some striking difference between the faith practices. These believers traveled 13 hours by train, while in America, an hour drive can be considered too far. The believers sat on a hard wooden floor for 3 days. While in America, it can be hard to sit for 40 minutes on padded pews. They gathered in a room without air conditioning, while in America, people expected. They had only a few Bibles which they memorized. Or in America, Bibles are plentiful, but yet often unread. Are we becoming complacent too in Singapore? Because we don't face persecution. In verse 10 to 14, the crowd asked John what they should do. He responded with practical actions. Practice generosity. Share your clothes and food. To the tax collectors, practice integrity. Collect only what they are authorized and not to exploit the people for personal gain. And to the soldier, use their authority responsibly and not to abuse their power to extort money. John told them to be contented with their wages. John was teaching them what a transformed life involved, treating people with generosity in meeting their needs and not to abuse authority. It is not about getting baptized, but responding to God with a renewed heart and mind. True repentance is reflected in our actions, not just words. Here's the challenge. Many of us know the right thing to do, but it stays in our head. We struggle because our hearts aren't fully convicted. I've seen this often in counseling. People stuck between knowledge and action. The key is internalizing the biblical teachings and let them flow from our head to our heart, transforming us from the inside out. When we are motivated by the love for Christ, our actions become purposeful and sustainable. Just like our 幸福 小组, we do it not because Pastor Wei Kang push for it. We are doing it because we want to share this precious gift, Jesus Christ, with our friends and family. At this point, let me move away from my script, because I was there, the thoughts about pastors encouraging Jubilee Church member to consider signing up the scholarship fund to do full-time study in the theological college and ministry. If the Holy Spirit touch you and you feel convicted that you want to pursue an education in divinity or theology, that you are convicted to serve in church or in the Christian ministry, talk to your pastor. Pray about it. And let the Spirit lead you. Do not let go of this calling and end up like Jonah. You know Jonah, huh? The one that got eaten by the whale. As we are ready in December, let us review our church theme for the year. Faith in praxis, living in faith. So that you can continue to practice it in 2025. I believe many of you have asked our pastor, what should you do to practice it? Just like the Jewish people asking John the Baptist, what should they do? Thus, we were given the Bible verses from Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The key words here are transform and changing the way you think. Personally, I like the Chinese translation, 心意更新, as it also means a change of the desire of the heart. And in Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciple, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, cross, and follow me. The key words here are give up your own way. How do we transform church theme and make it easy for you? Think like Jesus. See through the eyes of Jesus. Feel like Jesus would feel. Do what Jesus would do. Think, see, feel, do. All right? I was thinking how to summarize all this so that we can remember it easily. Let me borrow the term shared by a pastor, the consciousness of Christ in our daily life. I'd like to encourage you to have this consciousness of Christ with you. Sunshine, thank him for the rain. Thank him that you caught the public transport this morning, that you could arrive in church on time. Thank him for your exam result, though it may not meet your expectation. Gratitude transforms our perspective and strengthens our faith. And this good news is only possible by the grace of God. How many of you have seen the movie Money Not Enough Tree? Nobody watch Chinese movie here. Yeah? The main character went to church for the first time, used the number from the Bible verses to buy 4D and won some money. To him, whichever gods bring him wealth and solve his money problem will be his God. To the Jewish people, some saw Jesus as the rabbi, some experienced him as the healer, some witnessed his miracles, some believe he is the Son of God. So who is Jesus to you? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Is he your God or just your parents' God? Is he central to your life? Or your spare tire brought out only when you face challenges in your life? What legacy are we leaving behind for our children? Money, property, or this faith? My wife and I have been praying for our children since they were in her womb. We pray that they would stay faithful and not depart from his way. This sharing is a little personal, but I'd like to share it here. We have cried over them during times of doubt and lukewarm faith. I came to know that my wife was so emotionally triggered that she cried in her dream, asking God if he would still watch over our children when they are lukewarm in faith. God's reply was a resounding yes. Because of his grace and mercy, because Jesus bore our sin on the cross, he continues to watch over us even when we stray. To everyone here and to those listening online, I want you to know that your parents too would have prayed for you and possibly cried when you wavered in your faith. And more importantly, Jesus is here waiting for you with open arms, just like the father in the parables of the prodigal son. Jesus is saying to you, "Come home, my child. come home? Would you respond to his calling and go home to him? This Christmas, let's make it different. Let's invite Jesus, the true reason for this season, to be part of our Christmas preparation and invite him into our lives and home. Carry with you the consciousness of Christ each day. Think, see, feel, do as Jesus would. Rejoice in the Lord always. Give thanks in all circumstances and let his love transform you. With this, I leave you with Acts chapter 20, verse 32. I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. Amen. God bless you.